The responses have been quick and interesting. The rental fees ensure that the plants don't stay dead and ugly, and they have to be rotated ever so often. They clean the air, and someone is employed to drive to that office, maintain the plants with chemicals that are not hazardous to the environment. There's so much that goes into it. Like a swan in a lake, nobody sees the feet hard at work. That's the person who said to me, don't go there, don't criticize what I don't understand. He says, it sounds like a lot of money, but I'm sure the nursery involved is not agreeing. I said to that person, it is employment, I said so, and I support employment. And I mentioned the fact that the NCC has a wonderful plant nursery. I've bought plants from them. Can they supply the plants? Someone else said to me that they are starting... Mr. Johnson, sorry to bother you. The plant renting business also care for the plants, including watering, fertilizing, replacing same species bi-weekly to keep the office looking healthy, and varnishing the leaves, etc., though it may be a little costly. And someone said again, please tell the lady, leave the plants alone. I'm currently unemployed, just getting into the business. Let the government rent them while I try to get a contract too. So that's the other side of the plant business. Brastax, good afternoon. Boy, I tell you, there's always a... and someone says to me, I would do anything to smell some clean sea air. I live on Long Island and the beaches are horrible. Hospital waste always washing up and the sand looks black. And I promise that person I'll stop on Bronx Beach and take two extra deep breaths just for them. Brastax, good afternoon. Yeah, you're going to have that for a while. Whenever we go to the news break, nobody wants to talk. They've left the phones. Hello. Just a note, I advise that the residents of Lower Estate and surrounding areas continue to be plagued by the illegal dump. We continue to fight for our clear air. Now that government has settled, it's time for them to act to bring a stop to our misery, says this one. And that's the Project Recycling one. In Lower Estate, where there have been issues, I thought it had been closed by now. Perhaps Mr. Cherry can tell us what's happening with those. Hello? Brastax, good afternoon. Okay. 4341-790. Brastax, good afternoon. Okay, our lines are there, but no one seems
hello,
to be...
Hello, hello?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Can you hear me? Can you hear
now
me?
No, I can hear you clearly.
Okay, sir. A word on the pension.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the problem there is it needs to be clear from somebody.
NIS, more than likely, I think, should do it. But.
Yes. I think what happened there is that the non-contributory, they moved from 155 to 225, right, which we give them 450 a month, for 2 weeks. And there's $900 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the contributory person at the bottom of the ladder moved from 760 to 940, which means they got $180 increase, while the non-contributory, they got 200,
mm-hmm.
280 actually, 280.
Mm-hmm.
But they moved from 620
to 900,
so they got a 280. So the percentage, I think, is the problem. Structure.
Those at the top. You said those at the lower got that extra. What happened to those at the top? They got nothing? I think that's where one of the problems occur. Because people don't know where they are in the scale and whether they should or should not have seen an increase.
Right. But apparently those who get like $1,600, $1,800, and $2,000...
Don't get any.
They get no increase.
They get no increase.
I spoke to a number... pensioners this morning, and this is the concern, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get it clear up. What the contributory person at the bottom of the ladder, they're saying that they should get a little wider margin instead of the figure
that they have now.
Instead of the figure, yeah, because they move from 760
to 940.
To 940,
mm-hmm.
which means they got a 180 increase, while the the non-contributor got a $280 increase onto their money, which is much wider than the contributing person.
I got you.
So I think that is one of the problems.
I got you. Well, the NIS should, if people have concerns, they should say what the scales are, what the increases are. And I don't think it would, if people are upset by the increase they got, I don't think it would stop them being upset. But at least we would have clarity on those who should get and those who
exactly
should not expect to get.
It's quite true. So we need to get it clear up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And one other question is that the question is about funeral benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Is there someone can come on here and most probably clear up. Is a person, a non-contributive person,
going to get a benefit?
Right. Is there entitled to a funeral grant or only a contributory person?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is another one I guess we got to flag and get some information on.
Right. So that's it for now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir. I got a question here that I'm going to try to answer, although it may be answered in an unusual way. Is a driver's license still a form of ID? I am sure it should be, but these days I am not sure of a lot of things, and tell you why. There are some things that have crept into the way we do business that we've just accepted, and I am not sure why we accept it. Nobody seems to be able to give me a reasonable answer. I remember once you would present an ID and it would be all right. Then these days, we're being asked more and more for two forms of ID. And when I ask why, nobody could tell me why. They simply tell me that's the requirement. And then they decide what two types of ID you should show them. So you show them a national registration card and they ask you if you have a PriceSmart card. I tell you, I don't have a PriceSmart card. So, what do you want? Another form of ID. Why is the requirement? The other one that gets me every time is proof of address. I changed my address. And when I went to change my address, I was told you need a proof of address. I said, well, if the light employer asks me a proof of address, if the water authority asks me for a proof of address, if the telephone company asks me a proof of address, the bank and my credit union asks me a proof of address, who sends the first bill so that I could get my address? Somebody got to send me a card. I got to take a picture outside the residence. What do I do? Person looked at me and said, that's a requirement. I can't change your address until you give me a proof of your address. So I shrugged my shoulders. I don't know. Person wants to know if they could use their driver's license to collect medicine. Pharmacist, I hope you're listening. Can someone use their driver's license to collect medicine? I know my pharmacist listens from time to time, so don't send me a message on my phone. Send it to 266-IVOB. 266-4862, I'll get it there. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, it is.
Hi, first-time caller here.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Weighing in on the seaweed conversation. You had a caller two calls ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that when the seaweed comes to shore, if you can clear it from the high water mark,
it won't come up
beyond... Yeah, and it will stay on the sand, and then you move it from there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big issues with the seaweed on the sand is actually the gas it gives off.
Mm-hmm.
It gives off a really foul odor,
mm-hmm.
but it is not only the odor that's offensive. It is the actual harm of the gas.
Gas, yes, it is supposed to be toxic.
Are you familiar with Skeets Bay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, I have a house in Skeets Bay.
Mm-hmm.
4 years ago, we started seeing the seaweed really coming in. And every year I call NCC and, you know, only so much they can do. I myself attempted to clean the beach with an excavator to no avail. Over the past maybe 4 weeks ago, Mr. and Mrs. Williams had a big cleanup down there, which I do thank them. They spent an entire weekend. They could have moved over 800 tons, I would say, or more. And it is still there. My thing is to get it when it starts. At the beginning of the season. Don't let it accumulate. The problem that we have now is the gas is so bad, it has turned all the faucets in the house black. It has.
I guess the outside fittings can get affected too.
Well, you have no idea of the outside of the house. I actually have to repaint the house now because what it's doing to the paint is turning it black. And usually you can come and scrub the house, but it's not even coming up. So it's actually
it's getting into the paint.
That's right.
But then that means it could also get into the walls, depending on what kind of walls you have.
There you go. So it's a wood and drywall. So God knows what's happening behind
the wood and drywall.
So we are talking about the seaweed on the beach, and yes, it is not sightly. You know, you can't use the beach, but the big problem is actually the gas. The effect it's having. If I go down there for a weekend, I mean, I leave and I'm coughing, and I can feel the difference. If I'm down there for a couple hours, I can feel the difference. So you can imagine all the residents in that entire area, what they have to go through every single day. And for the past 4 years, for this season.
The question that I ask, therefore, if it's seasonal, if it's not something we can get together as a region, since it affects all of us, share the cost. You must have places in the Caribbean, Trinidad and comes to mind as being one of them, where there would be oil booms or where you could use them to harvest the weed before it gets too close to the land and see what we could do with it. Because I know it would be expensive to use that, but...
Yeah, but the problem I see is on the east of the island,
The wave action would cause fire.
It's not going to work there. What I will say, the most impressive solution I've seen so far is, I think, Guadeloupe, Martinique, with that flatbed boat with the trough on the front.
At the front, and pull it in.
And just loading it. Just loading it. Mm-hmm. And as it's coming into the bay, catch it then.
Right.
On all the beaches. I mean, if we have to invest in two boats, I know it's a lot right now. But we have to find a solution. Tourism is our business.
That's correct. That is correct.
You know, if we lose that, what do we have? I must say, I have cancelled 2 months now of rentals. The last people I had were from Switzerland. I warned them beforehand when they came. They said they just wanted to stay. They wanted somewhere different. They did have a little complaint of the smell, but they said it was worth it just being there, secluded. But I've had nothing but cancellations now for the past 2 months. And I've been canceling people. Yeah. I have been canceling people. Because it's not fair to travel halfway around the world.
And then do that. And it destroys your reputation after that. And you can't buy back reputation. It's too expensive.
You can. And I built a long time to build my product. I actually lost my super host status on Airbnb because of this.
Because of this. You know,
yes, so it will take me a year to get it back.
It will take
me an entire year.
I know of the challenges posed just by salt blast to houses close to the beach and electrical fittings. I know how expensive that can be from bitter experience. Now, if you're talking about, and that's a friend of mine says it's hydrogen sulfide, the same thing given off by volcanoes. So that is a real environmental hazard. And when you talk about the type of effect it could have on wood, drywall, and sometimes those effects don't come up till years after, you're running into a big problem here. I take your point, so thanks for calling and making it, because I think if you get more of that type of input, rather than just it smells bad or it looks unsightly, we will see a push for more, I don't know, a more proactive way or a greater sense of urgency to what we do about the sargassum seaweed. It really is a challenge to us. And thanks for being a first-timer, sir, and stay with us when you can. We always look forward to hearing from you. To the person who sent the question on the ID, Pharmacist says, yes, you can, but that's an in-house decision. Someone else says, I have used it before to get medication, so it can be used. I suppose it depends, again, I said, on whether people decide you need two forms of ID or to accept your driver's license. It has your signature. It has your picture. It's official. I can't see why not, but there you go. You have two responses. That's why I like it, and thanks to those who responded. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Ma'am.
The caller just now before the break stole my thunder, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about as well.
Which was?
But what I'd like to add to it is 2 nights ago, I was watching CBS, and they were showing the people in Miami on the beach, sitting in their lounge chairs, surrounded by the moss. And they said they'd rather sit in that than lose the sun, and they were out having their sun and enjoying it. So I guess theirs didn't have a smell like how ours would.
Well, it depends. That's why I said I don't. When people say they don't like the way the sea smells, I don't agree with them, because I know their tanks. I don't like rotten fish. But, you know, if I smell rotten fish, I'll run. But the scent of the sea doesn't annoy me. So, but this the weed, if it gives off sulfur dioxide is deadly.
Yes, that is very, very caustic when you try to breathe it in.
Yep, it is.
All right, my other topic now, which is very close to my heart, is to deal with this plastic bag issue. I was in the supermarket the other day having my groceries checked, and I walk with my own bag, because I'm one of those people who I basically refuse to pay for a bag and advertise a company.
A company, yeah.
Right? So I use bags that are given to me. So I had my bag, and I'm looking at all of my items being checked, and everything is wrapped in plastic, or it is plastic. And I'm thinking, we're taking away plastic bags that eventually degrades in the environment.
And we're wrapping it in foil, in plastic wrap.
You know what I mean? And then I look at when we look at videos going around about the sea and what they're taking up out of the water, you see in styrofoam containers and plastic bottles.
And plastic wrap, the clinging type.
The cling wrap, right? Yeah. Not the plastic bags that we are told we can no longer cab and carry. But we must now pay for bags. And what are these bags made from? In some cases, paper product. And where does the paper come from? So tell me, how are we protecting our environment?
Ma'am, you see, it's the one hand, and on the other hand, I see bread still in plastic bags, but I see bread in paper bags as well, depending on the type of bread. Whatever the material is that is in on corn kernels and packaged nuts, it's a form of plastic.
Those are what we see floating in the sea.
In the sea, yeah, I know.
But plastic bags, you know.
I know, and ma'am, and we throw disposable diapers on the beach and in the sea. It is one of the things we need to look at. We need to take a serious look at what we do when we say we're getting rid of plastic. And I agree with you, styrofoam too. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. We have the lunchtime edition next. The Wednesday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks. I like it. 434-1790-2665-VOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. It seems like my two pet peeves, people just accept them, and I guess I'm the only person peeved by it. Gentlemen say, would you believe my credit union sends me statements every 3 months? They sent me a form to upgrade my personal information and asked me for proof of address. Yeah, I know the feeling. And people are telling me that they need two forms of ID because one ID has something the other one doesn't have. And then someone said that the QEH does not accept driver's license as identification to collect medication. When asked why, I was told the NRN is difficult to input because it's not very legible. I spent 11 years in a commercial bank in two different countries. An identification was required to show your face, your signature, and a number given to you by an official source. An official source was considered the government. So a government ID, a driver's license, a passport, those were the things that were considered an identification. A birth certificate was not an identification because it did not have your picture and it did not have your signature. Where have we gone to that all of a sudden we want two forms of ID, the number not long enough to fit in the box on the computer, so you go get another number, you want a price smart card. Listen, change the computer program if it can't take a long ID number, or give us one number for everybody. So your passport number is your ID number, is your car number, is your whatever number. We making ourselves slaves to other people's things. And yet we let people walk into Barbados on a driver's license. There's a piece of paper issued by Connecticut. Oh, that's what it says. You don't know if it's a photocopy. We don't know if it's made in somebody's basement. But it's from the United States, so it's valid. And that's what I don't understand. And we justify it. We sit down and say why it must be done. So they'll make sure that one is wrong. Okay. I am the only one who can rail against it. Just as how I railed against bank charges 10 years ago, and we're just talking about it now. Just as I said we should have students' councils 10 years ago, and we're just getting around to it now. I just live in outside of my time. I should go and grow plants on the West Coast and rent it out, or catch sargassum seaweed and turn it into... Have you ever tried to orgasm seagasm and make some money? Or seagasm, orgasm or something. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. I'm being silly. But that's what I do for a living. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yes. I just want to make three quick points.
Go right ahead.
Yes. I don't know if you've seen the infield of the garrison recently.
I walked across it recently.
But it is it is actually littered with plastic.
With plastic bottles, and all kinds of things. Yeah,
plastic,
I know,
sir. Cups.
That's when people walk into exercise. I find it amusing.
Mr. Johnson, it is littered with used condoms.
Condoms. Well, that has always been the case since I was a little boy. But so that is nothing new.
I'm appealing to the authorities. Can't they close the entrance off at 3 o'clock and let all those who want to jog or play rugby, there's enough parking on the outside. You can actually duck under the thing and do whatever you want to do, jog or play your rugby. And I think it would get rid of a lot of that.
It used to be closed and open at one point, you know, and then I think they just gave up on it. The other thing that worries me, yes, sir, is the way we start things and when we don't continue. The garrison is near and dear to my heart, let me say that. And the guys at the Defense Force, when they're getting it ready for independence parades and stuff, top-notch job. And
yes,
the Turf Club, yes, when they're making sure that, you know, the racetrack is in good condition, top-notch,
yes,
job. But those, yes, middle areas where rugby is played, there used to be a basketball court there at one point, and the general jogging area, just the general upkeep. Even sometimes around the area where they have that piece of concrete with the flag there. I'm not so sure I'm happy,
yes,
with it.
Yes.
Even that area sometimes is a little unkempt.
But the thing is with that is that when it was first set up, the seats, it was beautiful.
It was nice,
now,
yes.
Now it is. It's covered with bird dropping.
Yep.
And it needs power washing. It needs care.
Sir, it comes back to our care of things once we do it. I mean, let's take the area opposite government headquarters. Government headquarters grounds, manicured, taken care of by NCC or whichever government agency, great. The guys go across on the other side, the esplanade, take care of it, great. All of a sudden,
yeah,
cars parked all over it, SUVs, double cabs parked, mm-hmm, up all over it. It is now a parking lot. Independence Square, we spent money, statue of the Right Excellent Earl Barrow, fountains,
right.
It's a car park. People parking cars all over it on weekends. So we start these things and then...
Yeah, I know. The other thing is, I would like to say, I think 40% of the damage done to Transport Board buses is done by the drivers. I've seen them trying to negotiate corners at 60 miles an hour. Not 60 miles an hour. Sometimes you have to take evasive action.
You duck, yeah, when they come around the corner. Yeah, because the bus slides all over the place, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the other thing is, I just want to know, is this legal for the horse owners to take the horses to the aquatic? With the drop-ins and the...
There was a time when they could do it prior to, I think, 6 o'clock in the morning was the cutoff point, and sometime late in the evening. There was actually a time when they were allowed to bathe horses. I know they use the lower end of Bronx Beach on occasion as well, because I see the horse trailers. But there used to be a time. As with everything else, sir, we just let some things go after we introduced the law. We put it in place and then we forget about it after that. But yeah, there was a period where horses could be taken for a bath and then they had to be off the beach. Don't remember what the time was now. It's been a while since I've checked. Thanks for your comments, sir. They're well made. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm calling in connection with the Lower State and the landfill, which you spoke mm-hmm. about.
Yeah, that someone sent a message on, yeah.
Right, somebody. I actually sent you all a WhatsApp last week, but I don't think it was read, because the problems are still ongoing. There isn't much that has been done between then and now. But with election and stuff, we were more or less keeping
your fingers crossed,
ourselves to ourselves until,
uh-huh.
right? There were certain... I don't want to say promises that were made.
But there were promises made, so I heard them made on the radio.
Okay.
There were promises made.
I might not want to come straight out and say it.
No, so I could say it because I know they were made with me sitting right in the producer's chair or here. So I don't duck when I know the truth, okay? I'll take the blow straight in my heart if I have to.
Fair enough.
I will go to my grave defending you for having said it. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Promises were made. It was done. It was supposed to be done by a specific time, and they were asked to give time. Yep.
Right. Well, the abatement notice was issued since, I think that was the 1st of December,
mm-hmm.
2016. We are almost to December, no, 2018. Anyhow, we've also been trying, through our representative, Mr. Clark, to try to get meetings with the relevant ministries, Ministry of Health, because, you know, everything now would have been changed since the administration has been changed.
Mm-hmm.
So the contact and the contact information and the names that we would have had before would not be relevant now.
Right.
Right. But we've been trying to use Mr. Clark, more or less, to get contact reestablished with the new ministries, which mm-hmm. mainly the Ministry of Health, Environment, well, and now I believe that Home Affairs now is separated from things, so Home Affairs, I guess, would play a part as well. But the fire is still ongoing. As recent as 2 weeks last week, the fire service was still involved, because we had a meeting. As I said, we meet bi-weekly. The committee meets bi-weekly with Mr. Sherry and his administration. We've been trying to get things done out of the way, more or less. But we are still... We're still at square one. We're just going wrong in
but,
circles.
But it's still smoking? It's still burning? Or is there some other scent associated with it now?
It's still burning. Sometimes you go, you see smoke. Sometimes you don't see the smoke. But the smell was pretty strong within the last couple of weeks, especially now that
because of the rain
started to fall again.
Because of the rain. That right. will obviously stir up that scent thing, yeah.
Precisely, because that was one of our main points with them. They're still putting mold on this thing. I said to them, it does not make sense bringing in all of this mold and covering it. Our real test is when the rain starts to fall. You know? And before the rain started to fall, the smell was there. The smell is strong. Anybody in Barbados that wants to check for themselves, all you have to do is drive that corridor between Lairs Roundabout and the Lower State Junction with the Bell Road. That is the main corridor on which you can tell if anything is going on up there or not. I have a set of people that live directly below it in Lower State. They have been making noise for the last couple of months because the stench is going nowhere. So we are more or less at a standstill.
Okay. So I hope Mr. Cherry hears and works on it. I really hope so, because I think when people have worked hard, and they should enjoy the comfort of their home, they should enjoy the environs. I know that particular area would have had Roberts and their other manufacturing concerns in the area, but there's an element of residence and residential development as well. I think the whole question of how we marry residential developments with other types of development has to be something that, you know, we pay close attention to. Sometimes people say we were there first, then other people say this person had a farm and they changed this. This whole question of land use, which comes back to what I was telling one of my previous callers, that we have to have a discussion on housing policy, land use policy, changes in use, and the long-term effects of doing it. Because there are certain areas in that catchment area that you're talking about, going right across to Bibby's Lane, that used to be just cane, and now it's being developed for other uses. The question is what you put there and how does it affect the residences either upwind or downwind from those developments. And that issue in the Bell has been going on for too long. And Mr. Cherry, I know, is in the business of recycling, and recycling is a good thing, but we got to treat our neighbors in a neighborly fashion. That is my last line on it. Sir, I thank you for your contribution. I thank those who made their contribution to today's program. Thanks to Graham Vaughan for taking care of things that are technical. On behalf of the team, I'm Dennis Johnson. Have a good afternoon.